This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
As the WNBA tips off its 26th season, we're delighted to have with us today the league's 2018 Rookie of the Year and its 2020 Most Valuable Player. It is my pleasure to welcome the stylish, high-scoring forward for the Las Vegas Aces, Asia Wilson. Asia, it's so great to have you on Game Time. It's great to see you.
Good to see you as well. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's great. So you're embarking now on your fifth WNBA season and your first with Becky Hammond as a head coach. So what are your impressions so far of her?
Oh man, Becky's great. She is a player's coach, and I love that she just kind of lays the foundation down for us and she just lets us play. She knows that we're pros at what we do and she allows us to pick each other's brain, but her basketball IQ is out of this world, and I'm so glad that I could be coached by her this year.
You know, it's amazing, Asia, that everybody had her on a short list to be an NBA coach.
Yeah.
And then, lo and behold, I know she had a relationship with the franchise out of San Antonio that now relocates to Las Vegas and everything else.
Yes.
Were you surprised when you heard that she was going to be your coach?
Yes and no, obviously, because I was like, dang, she has a lot on her plate because she was the next. I mean, when you're coaching behind someone like a Pop, your next step is so much greater. So I was definitely surprised. But then when I realized just the camaraderie that she already built with the San Antonio Stars to now us because we bought them, it wasn't a surprise at all. So we're glad to have her on board.
You know, you lost one of your best teammates, Liz Cambage, to the Sparks. Is that going to be a big blow to you guys?
I'm not really sure until we really get out there, but I think we have a lot of pieces to our puzzles that we're fully capable of doing what we've been doing, and that's being just great elite basketball players and good at what we do. So it's always tough when you lose people. I mean, we lost a great vet in Angel McCarter as well, but they're doing something that's for them, and we're going to do stuff that's for us. So I'm happy for them either way.
Yeah, I said 26th season for the WNBA, and I don't necessarily know that it's ever been as popular as it is today. Mm-hmm. Are you seeing significant growth in your league?
Yeah, for sure. Just from my rookie year to now, it's been crazy just how people are really starting to notice us. I mean, I see people tag me in pictures of my jerseys a lot more frequently than they have before, and I love that. The growth of our game is growing. It's expanding across the board, and we just got to keep pushing that needle, keep climbing up to the mountaintop because we're not done yet, and I try to do whatever I can to make sure that I plant a seed for the next generation so it never dies down.
You know, interesting. Commissioner Kathy Engelbert has said that the collective bargaining agreement now allows her to double top players' salaries with special marketing incentives. She also believes the upcoming broadcasting rights deal will be a game changer. Are you buying into all this?
We're going to see. I really want to. My fingers are crossed. Anytime that it involves us growing and, of course, our pockets growing as well, I'm always for it. I'm always behind it 100%. But it takes time. I think people tend to fail to realize how young our league really is. I mean, we're 26 years old. That's pretty young when you think about it. So the progression that we've made up to this point, it's big. So I'm always behind that stuff if it means that it's increasing my wallet, but also viewership.
Asia, I know that your true first love was football. Didn't you want to be a quarterback?
I did. I really wanted to be a quarterback until I signed up for this like co-ed thing and I read like you could be paralyzed. And I said, Mom, I don't want to do this anymore. We were on our way to like Academy Sports to pick up like pads and stuff. And I like read it through and I was just like, yeah, I don't think this is for me anymore. So yeah, I gave that up quickly.
And by the way, I don't know if you know this, but left-handers make great QBs.
Dang it, I missed my calling.
Yes, you did. You know, you also took ballet and tap, you played volleyball and soccer, you even swam and did karate when you were younger. Everything but basketball. So how did your dad actually coax you back into the sport?
Man, I absolutely hated basketball because the people that I knew played it were just terrible people. Like, they were just mean bullies. And I was like, is it the sport that makes them like this? And I was also a child where I was like a super girly girl. I didn't want to sweat too much. So my dad was kind of side-eyeing me because my brother took the musician side. And my dad was like, all right, you got to be my athletic one. And I was not doing it at all. So he would always wake me up at like Saturday morning to go to these practices. And I'll just sit there with an attitude like, I don't want to be here. But then I made the team. And I just started watching my friends just fall in love with it. Like when we won, that feeling, I wanted to be a part of it. So I bought they bought me my first basketball goal. And I just started watching it. It was on every TV and I fell in love with it.
Well, you know what? Your parents enrolled you in a private school, and you were only a handful of Black students in that school. So what kind of stress did that create for you?
It was very difficult because it seemed as if I was living two lives, because when I went with my AAU team, it was predominantly Black. It was just that. And then when I went to high school, when I went to elementary school, middle school, all of that, I was around a lot of white people. So I felt like I could never find myself until maybe high school. I was like, I'm tired of code switching. I'm tired of wearing this mask. Like, I have to be a certain way around my friends. So it did cause a lot of stress through my adolescent years, but it also made me realize who I am. And it put me in a situation where it's like, you're going to get this Asia, either take it or leave it. It's not going to bother me either way. So it kind of matured me in a way. So I'm grateful to be able to say that I went to Heathwood for all 12 years of my life, and I had a lot of fun.
Well, maybe you have a better perspective than most people. That's the way I would look at it. And by the way, I don't know if our audience knows this, but you were America's number one prospect coming out of high school. You could have went anywhere. You could have went to UConn with Gino Auriemma. You could have went to Tennessee. You could have went to Stanford, but you chose to stay home at South Carolina. Why?
Dawn Staley. Between Dawn Staley and my grandmother, I'm a family girl through and through. And I feel like if Coach Staley could have been anywhere, I probably still would have went there, but she just so happened to be in my backyard. And I knew I wanted my family to be there, and especially when it came to my grandmother, having that opportunity for her to come watch me play in my only game that she's ever witnessed me play, it really meant a lot. And just to have the community around us 100% and Coach Staley's loyalty throughout my recruitment was a big step for me. So South Carolina was it.
Well, I got to tell you, they're pretty happy in South Carolina. We'll return with the woman who holds a mind-boggling, get this, folks, 86 University of South Carolina women's basketball records. That's ridiculous. Yeah. Right after these messages. Wow, 86. That is insane.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast. You hear that? Your dog knows. Spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of PetMeds, dog food, and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's PetMeds.com and promo code PODCAST. Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
When Asia Wilson decided to attend the University of South Carolina, her mom, Ava, said, "As a mother and as a black mother, I always wanted Asia to be coached by a black female in college. To have her play under Dawn Staley was divine intervention. And in high school, you were diagnosed with dyslexia. So how did Coach Staley help you deal with that condition?"
Yeah, so once I got to college, of course, everything gets harder in the classroom, on the court, across the board. And with dyslexia, it was very tough because I was this high profile athlete and everyone wanted to know what I was going to do next. But also, I didn't want people to know that I had a weakness, which was my dyslexia at the time. And so Coach Staley would, before shoot around, she would make me read the prayer every single game on the road, at home. And it wasn't just your normal prayer. It was like three paragraphs of a prayer. And I would get really annoyed because I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm stumbling over words. My teammates are rolling their eyes. Like, it's whatever. But I didn't know that she was literally helping me with my dyslexia by reading aloud and constantly reading stuff. So it really helped me in that way. And the resources that I got throughout the years of South Carolina were incredible. I got a pen that took, that recorded my professors. So if I stopped taking notes, I could still have my professor's voice and I could go play them back. So the resources that they had for me were incredible. And I don't think I would be able to even have this conversation with you, Boomer, if I didn't have these resources. So I have to credit them, and especially my mom, for making sure that I had everything I need to succeed.
All right, tell us about the other strong woman in your life, your grandmother, Hattie Rakes. Tell me about her.
Oh my gosh, my grandmother, Hattie Rakes, was my rock. She was my backbone, everything in between. I have her tatted on my wrist. I lost her in 2016, and it was really, really a tough year for me because she was my why. I wanted to give up basketball. I had no use of playing it because my why was gone. But I also remember that she instilled so much within me of just being a powerful woman, that can take care of her business. And that woman means the world to me through and through. Like I said, I was so happy she got a chance to see me play. She hated watching me play because she didn't know that the defense was allowed to like hit me or foul me. She thought they just did it because they didn't like me. So she could never watch, but she would always like, I would go by after every game and she's like, "Oh, I see you with your double double." I'm like, "What you know about that?" So it was super cool just to share those moments. And she allowed me to be Asia instead of Asia Wilson. And that's what I love most about it.
Well, that's great. You know, you brought South Carolina their first ever national championship, but you beat Mississippi State, and it had to be something really, really special for you, Asia. I would imagine with Dawn Staley, you, your history, the state, the school, and everything else, what was that like?
Man, it was incredible. I feel like it's a moment that always plays back in my head when I play big games, because it was such a moment where no one expected us to be make it that far. We lost our big center, Elena Coates, that season. The year before that, my grandmother passed. It was a lot of adversity just that whole year, and I don't think people expected us to do that. And just to share that moment with Coach Daly and my teammates is incredible, and I will never be able to go to Dallas and not smile and have that, just have that feeling again, because it was just so special.
You know, we talked about 86 college records. It was ridiculous. You swept every college award that there was. But the University of South Carolina had a very special surprise in store for you. And this usually doesn't happen while somebody's living, at least not nobody in my life. A statue outside of Colonial Life Arena. How amazing was that to see that unveiled on Martin Luther King Day back in 2021?
Man, it was incredible. Like, I remember when they first started mentioning it, I thought it was a joke, because people would tweet at me like, oh, Asia needs a statue. And I'm like, whatever, like, it's Twitter. And then that's when Coach Daly was like, well, I'm going to lay this much amount down to get it up. And I'm like, wait, what's going on? And I had an opportunity to go to Chicago and actually see the mold of it. And it was just incredible to watch it just unveil. And it's crazy, because like I said in my speech, like, that campus, it didn't allow my grandmother to walk across it. No. And now there's a statue of her granddaughter standing there. It's immortalized. And like you said, normally people don't get statues till they're like, or they're on their way out. So I was right. Like, I get to enjoy this moment. Like, I get to see young boys and girls bring their basketballs up and do the pose, and their parents are taking, like, my parents drive by every day before they go to work, and my dad's like FaceTiming me, or he'll take a picture, and I'm like, I have like 100 pictures of you in front of this statue, Dad. But to have them live that moment and myself, it's pretty incredible.
Yeah, I think your speech invoking your grandmother and her experiences when she was a young Black woman on that, or not being able to walk on that campus, was amazing. It was emotional and certainly hit the right tone. You know, Asia, in your first year, of course, you're named Rookie of the Year of the WNBA, because that's what you do. You just win all the awards. Were you surprised that you were able to ramp it up to speed that quickly?
I was very, very surprised, because I mean, I just didn't know. I didn't know what to expect, and the fear of the unknown was there. It was just like screaming out to me, because I'm like, okay, these women are better, quicker, faster, stronger, bigger than me. And it's just like, how can I still lay a foundation down for myself in this league and to be one of the best? And that's what I'm going to try to continue to do. So I was very surprised by that, because our league is pretty, pretty good.
No, it's really good. As a matter of fact, in your second year, you led Las Vegas to their first playoffs, I think, in 5 years. And then the COVID-shortened 2020 season, you guys made it to the finals. Unfortunately, you got swept by Seattle and Sue Bird. Yeah. You know, they're really good, by the way. I would imagine that was crushing. I lost the Super Bowl when I played in it. I couldn't sleep for about 3 weeks.
Yes, it was. It's like the worst feeling ever. I don't know. I can't even explain it. But like, I just try to make sure that my teammates never feel the way that I felt in that bubble. Like, it was so, I couldn't eat. I was just like, there's no way that like this happened. But it's a growing period. You learn from it. It's a great lesson that I love to have. And I continue to have that chip on my shoulder.
You know, how surprised were you when the WNBA commissioner, Kathy Engelbert, walked into a team meeting of all places and handed you the MVP award?
I was blown away. I'm not even going to lie, because I was doing interviews like that whole day, and it was just like drowning. Like, I was just like, whatever, like, same thing. We were actually supposed to have a referees meeting, and I was just like, good, I can cuss some of these refs out, like, speak my mind. And all of a sudden, Kathy walks up, and I'm like, oh, my God, this day's just getting just longer and longer by the minute. And then she starts reading off my stat, and I can't even tell you what she said after that, because I just started crying, because that's when it just really hit me. And I didn't even know if my teammates were in on it. It was just a crazy moment. But I was really, really surprised, because once again, no one expected us to be like that in the bubble. And I couldn't have wanted anything without my teammates that year. They helped me out more than they probably even imagined. So it was definitely a year to remember.
You know, it's amazing that you mentioned the bubble, because in the Players Tribune, you wrote an essay and you revealed in that bubble in Florida that you were suffering from a bout of depression.
Yes.
You know, and what message were you trying to convey to everybody just like opening yourself up like that?
The biggest message is showing people that I'm human. I think people tend to look at us athletes and think, oh, they're perfect at what they do. They can get anything that they want. They're this, that, and the third. And they forget that we're human at the end of the day. We feel our feelings, but at the same time, we're kind of it's kind of, you're hesitant to be vulnerable because nowadays people can just take it and destroy it. So I wanted to really show people that, yes, you may see me on the court and I may look this way, but at the end of the day, I still go through stuff. It's still tough for me. And the bubble was definitely a turning point in my life. I couldn't stand the bubble, but actually I feel like I came out a better woman. So I give my praises to the bubble sometimes.
All right, we'll take a quick time out and then return to explore some of Asia's many off the court success stories. Yeah, that's right, she's got a ton of them right after this. "This moment is bigger than me," said Asia Wilson as a larger-than-life bronze statue of her was unveiled at her alma mater last year. We just spoke about that. "This moment is for every girl who was told she wasn't enough." Now, you said that you're going to be a voice for the voiceless, Asia, especially the black woman, because she is consistently swept under the rug and overlooked. What are you most proud of accomplishing, you know, what you've accomplished and the words of wisdom that you're trying to pass along for other girls just like you?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that I'm most proud of is I never lost sight of who I am. I think sometimes you kind of get caught in the spotlight, but you kind of tend to forget that light that's within. And I'm just so happy that I can shine that light on so many young girls, especially the black girls that look like me, because we're not seen like that. If I can be out there and be seen, you can see her, you can be her. I'm a firm believer in that. So I think that's what I'm most proud of. Yes, I still have a lot of work to do. Yes, we still have a lot of work to do. But it just, you know, you put one foot in front of the other and continue to climb up that mountain to help others.
How about other young girls that are maybe dealing with dyslexia? Yeah. What is your words to them?
My biggest words is just be you, be true to you. I think I lost myself in that because I thought it was a weakness. I thought it was a disability. But at the same time, you get what you put in, that's what you're going to get out. And that's my biggest message.
Tell me about your foundation and how it's dedicated to helping individuals, families, and teachers create workarounds to deal with the dyslexia.
Yeah, so when I graduated from college, I wanted to put my footprint in the dyslexic world because I'm like, this is something that needs to be said. And I started the foundation, and I think the biggest thing that I found out is the root. We got to get to the root. And that is, a lot of teachers aren't certified to identify when a child has a learning disability. So I wanted to start the foundation to hopefully get certification for teachers to then be able to identify that child, because growing up, a lot of teachers just thought I was a lazy teenager that didn't want to study. But at the end of the day, I had a learning disability. So it's shining a light on that is something that I really wanted to do. And I wanted to make the foundation because it's not just about the child, it's about the village that's behind the child. So shining a light on all of that and making sure that the young ones know that they're not alone, and we're all in this together.
So what tips can you give to parents maybe if they notice something? What should they be looking for?
I think the biggest thing, and I also talk to my parents about that, the biggest thing is don't blame yourself. Let the child, listen to your child. And that's the biggest thing my mom said that she regret, that she didn't listen to me early on. Because once again, she's like, Asia, why aren't you studying for your test? And I'm like, I spent 3 hours trying to read one page. I'm trying to get it. And you sometimes, you know your child, you're like, all right, you're slacking off. But at the same time, I think the biggest thing is just listening to your child. If they're struggling, they're trying to say something and they're trying to tell you something. But I wish I could tell you pinpoint things of what screams out dyslexia, but it's really different within the child. Like with me, I just take a little more time. Instead of getting a 7-page test, I would get my test page by page by page. So it's all different things. But the biggest key for parents to do is just listen to your child.
No, you got a great smile, and I'm going to bring it to your face right now. Two Aussie doodles, Ace and Deuce, right? Yeah. So, the loves of your life, I would say.
Oh, my God. They are me through and through. Yes, those are my two boys.
Oh, that is great. I love the fact that you have Aussie doodles. How can I get one? Where can I get one from?
Oh, my. Listen, Premier Pups, that's where I got my two from, and they're the best.
Do they have their own Instagram pages?
Yeah, well, they're combined. Yes, they do have their Instagram pages. Ace and Deuce, they're the cutest.
All right, Ace and Deuce, they're the cutest. Well, you know what, Asia, I gotta say thank you so much for joining us today. I'm Boomer Esiason, and I'll see you again real soon right here on Game Time.